Let's assume the pyramids were built and tied into a constellation, tied into a star map. Wouldn't that be logical to people who are on this planet looking up?
That's exactly it. That is exactly it. I mean, these are people that obsessed in the stars, and it seems to have been every single civilization speaks about the gods that came from the sky and having this ability to float down in these celestial ships. The depictions of them are so clear. Now, he has another catch-22. In history, they've made it so easy for us to understand this disc that flies, and they put it on every temple. They put wings onto the disc, and they associate this disc, not a ball, it's an actual disc that flies and shines like the sun. And what have historians done? They said, oh gosh, this is an esoteric religion of sun worship. You know, the wings are added onto the sun because the sun is flying, for heaven's sakes. You know, it's so obvious, but there it is, you know.
Well, do you believe that the ancients were trying to show us where these other people, these ETs might have come from?
Exactly. What did we do when we landed on the moon? Well, I should say your country, the United States, landed on the moon. The flag is the grand ceremony. Here's who we are, where we come from. We've done it.
And we've even sent out a probe deep into space with a map that shows people, if they can figure it out, how to get to our planet.
Exactly. That's human ethics. Show who we are, where we come from. Star map. Here's our solar system. Here's naked human. These are our dimensions. Nice man waving at them, very friendly. You know, this is how we work. This is probably a universal intelligence built into our subconscious.
Would you consider your work an alternative to, let's say, mainstream archaeology? Archaeologists would look at this. Some may agree with you. Some may not.
Absolutely. They can't believe their eyes when they see it. They get very interested seeing the logic, and then they see the grand conclusion that ties in with it. UFOs, and then they just step back and say, leave this with me, come back in a couple of years and we'll make a comment. That's how it works.
Next hour, by the way, Wayne, Richard C. Hoagland will join us and we'll key in on Mars, which is a lot of basis for your incredible book, The Hidden Records. Mm-hmm. And Richard, of course, knows the Cydonia region and Mars as good as anybody on this planet.
Yeah.
So I want him as our science advisor to chat with you as well, because both of you have done some incredible work here. And you could probably share some things with each other.
Yeah.
I am curious to see what some of the mainstream scientists have said about your work.
Gosh, you know, if I could just take a recorder with me and show you their reactions, it's exactly what I said just now. They get all interested. They see the logic. They see what the conclusions are saying. They see the Mars story, and that's it. That's back off, and, you know, this is not scholastic. It is absolute coincidence.
They either run away from you?
Yeah, they just say, leave it with me, and then when I do follow-ups, we've had even a film documentary recently take a very great interest in doing a great documentary, but it was conditional that we get scholars, both astronomers and historians, to comment whether they don't like it or whether they like it. And the time that we've left with them to just make a simple comment, even if they can run it down, they just decline.
I want you to paint a picture for us, if you can, Wayne, on the time period we're talking about, how this might have been constructed, who might have constructed this, who helped them, and where these beings might have come from. Just kind of paint us a picture here.
Sure, sure. There's two probabilities that fits very neatly, and one is different to the other. There's the possibility that they were built pre-Earth cataclysm, pre-flood, pre-something really ending a huge advanced civilization, because there's no evidence of anything mechanical, anything of great intelligence, just these giant monuments that are probably withheld the waters of the flood. And the other possibility is that they were post-cataclysmically built by simple primitive people that were visited once again by their ancestors, coming back perhaps many generations later, and they're obviously looking at them as gods, and were given the blueprints and built them thereafter. So we're talking around about 10,000 years ago, and there's another piece of this puzzle that really is important. It's our ancestors. Who are they and where do they come from?
Mm-hmm.
And from all evidence to date, it seems we have taken over where Neanderthal left off, and we probably are the reason for Neanderthal's extinction, because from Neanderthal backwards, they were all hominids, they were all ape-like people, but from Homo sapiens sapiens forwards, where all the fossils are consistent, it seems there's a lot of advancements hidden into those ancient findings, really advanced tools that have been found in fossils, and there's a whole book written on what they call forbidden archaeology that explains advanced human beings that goes back even millions of years, showing that, you know, this solar system might have been visited or even a place for, like, a dumping ground for perhaps destructive people, prisoners, who knows. But they seem to have lived primitive lives with an inkling of great knowledge.
Do you think the Neanderthals were genetically altered? Because science is now beginning to say, and that's what might make this theory correct, mm-hmm. science is beginning to say that they believe now that modern man and Neanderthals might have roamed the planet around the same time period. To me, I'm saying, okay, so they began to take some Neanderthals, genetically altered them, they had offspring that became modern human beings, and somehow they all cohabitated with each other until Neanderthals faded away.
I don't think so. You know, there's too much, on, for example, the Mars story and just the fossil story that says that we started from ground zero, fresh Homo sapiens sapiens, is the differences in the genetic sort of makeup. I mean, people take for granted that our bones are just porous and weak and fragile, one-third less than any hominid, one-third less than any living ape today, and every creature in the animal kingdom. We just, oh gosh, you know, one-third different in this porous bone structure. And our muscle connection is, again, one-third less efficient. The connections are, unlike apes, unlike hominids, we have this almost retardation of muscle connection, and it seems a whole bodily design would be perfect, like the animal kingdom, if we were at least one-third less gravity. So, you know, there's just too much saying that we started fresh and that our mitochondrial DNA, which is supposed to be something we can measure age and mutations, there's millions and millions of years missing between Neanderthal and Homo sapiens sapiens. I think we have replaced them. We have invaded the Earth. The Earth, it's a done deal. You know, basically we're worried about flying saucers landing and taking over this Earth. It's done.
I think it's us.
It's us. It's our ancestors, and we've forgotten it.
So if we coin a phrase from the Bible that we were made in God's image, that's entirely possible. If God being, let's say, visitors, extraterrestrials, even though I'm still convinced that eventually we'll get to that divine creator somewhere. But let's assume that they were talking about the visitors as being the gods. We look like they do.
I think, you know, it's even simpler than that. If you go to the early Hebrew writings and look at the whole meaning of the Old Testament, it's based on the where God fits in the picture as the Elohim. And it's actually made up two ancient Hebrew syllables, which I'm debating it right now because I know a lot of religious Hebrew specialists, they won't even look at it because it's almost like sacrilege. But if you look at from other research, there's a book written just on that word alone, that it means people from the sky, and it's plural, not one person, visitors, many people from the heavens. Him is heavens, Elohim.